words really do break our bones, right? And they become part of our identity. And confidence is a process, not an outcome. It's ongoing, always, right? You never arrive at confidence. Ask yourself, am I willing to suffer for this thing? Because if you are, then you are truly following your passion, right? Take all the risk you can right now. Find your passion. Find out that thing that you are willing to suffer for by taking risk. It's the only way, and that will give us the ability to remind our brain that we're powerful, that we are effective, that our lives have meaning and purpose, and we can give that to ourselves and others. We have chained our gifts to the pursuit of status and achievement. Dreams are free, but actually doing it comes with a cost. Cost of time with loved ones, cost, financial cost, you know, cost of ego, all of that stuff. Like doing, the actual doing actually costs you something, right?
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listen to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now, you are the most important person to me. Grateful, excited, and ready would best describe what I'm feeling right now. This week, I get to share the story of Mike Flynn, the impact entrepreneur, a man on a mission to make the world a better place and impact people to believe in themselves. He does this as an author, podcast host, and public speaker. Let's welcome the husband to Lisa, father of four, and friend to many, Michael Flynn. Welcome, Mike.
What's up, Peter? Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been a long time coming, and thank you for your flexibility and patience and, yeah. giving me space to battle LA traffic to get here.
I know. It's so funny. Like when it's been kind of hard to schedule this because you live in Santa Cruz, right. And I mean, you're busy too. So I always look most forward to these types of conversations because I hate giving up when I know this could be amazing.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And it worked out because we're on our way down to San Diego for vacation. So we left our house in Santa Cruz at 3:30 this morning, and here we are in beautiful Santa Monica.
Yeah, and both wearing colorful shirts today.
Summertime shirts.
So I want to start. You've done your research, and I know what you think that I'm going to ask you, but I want to go back to something else in your life.
Okay.
Because you've had almost 200 conversations on your podcast, right?
Yeah.
And you've met so many people. What today we want to honor you, Mike. So for a moment, can you just go back to the worst day of your life and how it changed you as a human being?
Ooh.
And please take some time if you need it.
I think only one worst moment of my life. I mean, I think that we all have different impact moments.
Yeah.
That, you know, if we have a beginning and an end, the day that we're born and the day that we die, the time in between them is like our heartbeat, right? So we're going to have like this kind of, you know, cardiac pattern of ups and downs throughout life. And so I would say that two of the most challenging things that I've grappled with, one is from childhood and one is from my early adult years. And the one from childhood is I was a really fat kid. I was very bullied. I was bullied quite a bit. Yeah. And
me too.
And we didn't, you know, society didn't really have an understanding of the impact of bullying, and the fact that words really do stay with us, right? That words really do break our bones, right? And they become part of our identity. And so I remember one time in particular, I was being bullied by a neighbor kid, and I had just lost it. And I ran inside and I was telling my mom, I'm like, I'm gonna kick his butt, you know, I'm gonna go. And my mom had always been like this this kind of, she's from Boston, so she's a little fiery, but like, but she'd always been like, you know, let's work it out, you know, let's kind of try to work out the situation. But this time she was like, you know what, Mikey, go kick his ass, you know? So I ran out there to go kick his ass, and he kicked mine. And so that was a really very challenging moment, because I finally felt like I was going to stand up for myself and beat this bully up, and I got beat up, right? And so it just added fuel to the fire in terms of my lack of what at the time I didn't know, but now as an adult and having studied a little bit of psychology, and is self-efficacy, right? I didn't feel powerful, effective, or valuable. My sense of worth was significantly trampled at that point. And fast forward, you know, I'm now, you know, many years later, I'm married. I've been married for 15 years this coming October. So, thank you very much. Yeah. We're going to Ireland to celebrate. We can't wait. But, you know, I was married in 2004, and I had started my career in the financial services around that same time. I was very successful right off the bat. I had married my childhood sweetheart. By 2007, we had purchased our first home, and in Santa Cruz County, which is a little slice of heaven in California. And I had two kids. And then the financial crisis came within months after that. We closed escrow on August of 2007. So, you know, basically 6 months later, the tides turn, and my business tanks multiple years in a row. And I had a year's worth of income in the bank. We had burned through, by 2010, we had burned through all of that capital. I had, basically, I was skimming on fumes. I had very little new business coming in. And I was in peak, prior to the financial crisis, I was in peak physical condition, because that little kid in me didn't want to be fat anymore. So I was very in great physical shape. And, by the financial crisis, I had ballooned up to 250 pounds. I had two kids. In 2007, we went from two kids to four kids in 2010, and ultimately short-sold our home in October of 2010. So here I am. I was a very successful person in the eyes of the world. I had, up to that point, everything. I had checked all the boxes, right? Childhood sweetheart, kids, home in Santa Cruz, money in the bank, good clients. But then there are just some things that are way outside of your control that you have no ability to maneuver, but you can choose how you respond to them, right? I didn't have a high degree of self-awareness about the true treasure is the internal life, not the external life, right? I'm a religious man. I have a Catholic faith. Yeah. But I really had a come to Jesus conversation during that financial crisis, where I had to really come to grips with the fact that I'm either gonna walk the talk or just walk, right? And so in 2010, we short sold our home, and I had to really go deep inside to make sense of the fact that I felt like a complete and total failure and fraud, right? I failed my wife, right? I failed my kids. I failed myself. I was financially in a mess. So I felt like I was a fraud to my clients that I was advising, right? But we were all in this, right? But my identity became foreclosed upon, right, as this failure. And then to make matters worse, in 2010, December of 2010, my son Charlie was born. He's number four. Yeah. He's an awesome kid, but he was a total surprise. And so we had the combination of the financial crisis and all of that stuff weighing on me, plus the fact that now I'm a father of four kids and I don't know what the heck is going on. I actually plummeted into depression. And that ended up becoming one of the greatest gifts ever, because it put me in the chair of a therapist whom I've been meeting with every year, for every quarter for the last 8 years. My son's eight, almost nine. And it's given me the time, at least once a quarter, to go on that inner journey, to make sense of the challenges that I've experienced in my life, to acknowledge that, yeah, they've happened to me. Yes, I was bullied. Yes, I did experience the financial crisis. Yes, I didn't feel believed in by my father at certain points in my life. Yes, my best friend's dad died when I was 14, right? Like, all of those things did happen to me, but they also happened for me if I choose to, right? But the only way I was able to come to recognize that is because I gave myself the space and the time to do that.
Yeah. But I'm curious, in that moment when you were that kid, how did you get confidence? Like, yeah. What did you do? Because now you have a lot of tools, but right. At that time, I'm not sure if you had the tools.
I didn't have the tools. I don't think I had confidence. I think, you know, that was probably like fifth grade. Grades fifth, sixth, and seventh were incredibly challenging for me. I didn't know how to handle myself, right? I didn't know how to use the power of my body. I didn't know I didn't know what my gifts or abilities were, because nobody had really breathed life into me. Nobody had inspired me, right? And in eighth grade, I did some junior high wrestling, right? And I wasn't very good, but
what made you start with wrestling?
Because I wanted to play football in high school, and the football coach said that wrestling is a great way to get in condition for football, right?
Yeah.
And so that was my driver, right? Football was the goal.
And why football?
Because I wanted to hit somebody.
Okay, you were angry.
I was angry, and I've loved football. I've been a Fighting Irish fan for basically my whole life. Lou Holtz is a childhood hero of mine. Like, fast forward, he was one of the first motivational books I ever read. Fast forward episode like number 66 of the Impact Entrepreneur Show, I got to interview him, and then he also endorsed my book, which is like amazing. So it's like a full circle moment. Yeah. But I've loved football, and I had aspirations to maybe play in college at some point, right?
Yeah.
And so I was all in on football. And I went to an all-boys school for the first 3 years of high school. And it was a very competitive football program. And so I was all in on it. Freshman year, I ended up playing varsity. And then I transferred to another school at the end of my sophomore year. Actually, yeah, at end of sophomore year, not junior year. And I finished at another school. And the end of the junior year football season, I blew my knee. And I was, you know, starting defensive end. You know, I had the most tackles in the league. I was also a second string fullback. I was 225 pounds and ran my 40 and 4.9. I had potential to play collegiate football.
And did that give you confidence?
It gave me confidence, yeah. Because what happens is I saw that I was good at something, right? And people were acknowledging it, right? And I progressed from these questions. We wonder, I think I can, to I know I can, to I can, to I did, right? That's the process of building confidence. And confidence is a process, not an outcome. It's ongoing always, right? You never arrive at confidence. People actually confuse confidence and comfort. You arrive at a state of comfort, right? But you never arrive at confidence. If you're trying to pursue confidence as an outcome, you're going to feel frustrated, because you never arrive at confidence. Because the whole idea of confidence, and again, this goes back to the origin of words, the word confidence means with faith, right? So if you're pursuing confidence, you're always acting with faith, right? So back to football, Like I was efficacious. I could hit somebody. I was quick off the line. I could tackle. I was fast, and I was progressing, right? And then life happens and my knee gets blown out. And which leads to another thing, right? I didn't know what I was going to do now. I didn't know what the heck I was. I thought football was my thing, right? So then I end up joining a choir. And I discover that I can sing. And that that I can read music. And that I can learn how to play the guitar. And that I can act. And so I started channeling all of that performance energy, because ultimately my gift is to inspire other people through performance, whether it's on a podcast, speaking, whatever it might be. And the way I express my gift changes and fluctuates depending on the environment. That's an important note. But so I discovered that I could act and I could sing, and I end up doing musical theater. I actually am a paid actor, and I'm on the way to getting an agent. And then my dad comes along, who I love. Okay, I love my dad. He's one of the most generous men I know. But he's very risk averse as it relates to his children taking risk, right? And so I'm 20 years old, and 20 maybe 21 at that 20 years old, I think, and I'm pursuing this career path of acting, and he all of the experts are saying, you have potential, Mike. You should try this. You should try to get an agent, right? But my dad, who cannot hold a tune, who's never acted a day in his life, but who is now shining the light on me of his attention, right? Because I've wanted his attention my whole life, and now I have it, right? And he comes to me and he says, Mike, I really don't think you should do this. It's going to be hard. You're going to struggle. You're going to suffer. You probably will fail because it's a really competitive environment. And I think you would be better off going to college and getting a business degree and pursuing that route. Why don't you give it some thought? So I did. And I went to college. I got a business degree, right? And I gave up the acting.
This is so interesting because I had Dave Meltzer on the podcast. Oh, yeah. And he was talking about that we, a lot of times, we listen to advice from our parents that might know nothing about that area, yeah, or a friend. And that's crazy. And we do it all, yeah, the time. Why do you think we do that?
Because we really don't want to, we don't want to disappoint people who we love. And because we don't want them to disappoint us either, right? And so we end up making this really, it's a really, really a tricky situation, okay? And it requires a really high sense of what psychologists refer to as agency, a high sense of self-awareness, confidence in your decision-making process, no waffling, all that stuff. I did not have that. I was very interested in pleasing other people because that's how I got felt confident. That's how I felt like I knew I was on path, right? And so, but here comes my dad, who I love and who was absent for most of my childhood because he's an army officer. He was gone a lot. You might recognize some, yeah, of that story from the
I recognize a lot from the book,
you know?
Yeah.
And he's paying this attention to me. But like now, so if you have listeners to your show that are dealing with something like that, where somebody else is projecting onto them something that they should do, I'm going to give them another word that they need to understand, right? And that is the word passion. The word passion literally means the willingness to suffer for something. So stop what you're doing. Examine where you're at right now, what you are doing for a career, to earn money, to make a lifestyle, and whether someone's projecting it onto you or you're already doing that thing, ask yourself, am I willing to suffer for this thing? Because if you are, then you are truly following your passion, right? You are truly passionate about that thing. If you are not willing to suffer for it, if you are not willing to put in the work for decades to perhaps never see the full fruit and benefit of your labor, then you might not be passionate about that thing and you may need to reconsider. So the 21-year-old kid that's listening to this episode right now, the 30-year-old kid that's listening to this episode that has no responsibilities, like to other people, wife or kids, take all the risk you can right now. Find your passion. Find out that thing that you are willing to suffer for by taking risk. It's the only way that you're going to be able to do it, by playing, by testing, by tinkering, by innovating, by retweaking, right? There's this great quote by a saint named Saint Catherine of Siena. And she said, when you become who God created you to be, you will set the world ablaze. But what that requires for us is to unbecome what we're not. And that requires effort, it requires work, it requires intention, it requires time, right? It requires conversations like this. It requires putting in your headphones and listening to a show like I Love Success or the Impact Entrepreneur Show or the School of Greatness or whatever, right? Yeah. But we have to focus on becoming who we are created to be by unbecoming who we're not, by shedding the armor that other people have put on us and picking up our slingshot and going out in the world and facing those bullies.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I had this contemplation yesterday when I had a little break, so I went to read your book, had a blue bottle coffee. I don't know if you tried it.
Yeah.
I love their coffee, but...
You have that special cream in there?
And I do oat milk, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know if you try that, no. But you should. Oat milk cappuccino is really good. Mm. But there was one thing that I read. So I was like, who are you invested in theirs? Like, how much do you care? Which are the people that you care more about their success than they do?
Yeah.
And I start thinking in my own life, and of course there's my loved ones, but then I started thinking about my longtime friends, and I made a realization that I need to be more invested in them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never thought about that question in that way. Yeah. I've been thinking the opposite. Why are that they not as invested as I am in
my... Why haven't they reviewed my podcast yet?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I was like, that's so selfish in a way. And we all forget that, even though I'm all about giving. So I was like, wow, this is something that I really need to work on. Mm-hmm. So thank you for writing about this, because it's so important and so easy to forget, because we are the main character in our own movie called Our Life, right? Yeah. But it's not all about that. It's sometimes to support someone is so much more
So maybe like here's a challenge for you. So that's the community piece of the book. And community is the ultimate accelerant for growth. And so there's a reason why we find ourselves in a WeWork building, right? Because there's a community here and people that are, everybody's trying to accomplish something, and there's a great thing. But unless you know your story, what your gifts are, what kind of action you're taking, you might find yourself in the wrong community. So to identify whether you are in the right community, you need to ask yourselves three questions. You know, are they wildly curious about me? Are they wildly curious? And am I wildly curious about their success as much as, if not more than my own, right? Am I willing to collaborate? Are they willing to collaborate? And am I willing to correct them? And are they willing to correct me if we veer off path, right? So here's a challenge for you specifically with your friends, okay?
Yeah.
So I want you to make a list of how many close friends, like really close friends, do you have that
maybe
come to mind?
Less than five.
Okay.
So
I want you to make a list of those five people, and over the next 5 months, devote a month to supporting and just loving on and breathing life into and being wildly curious about one of them. Right? Because trying to do all five at the same time is gonna be too much.
Yeah.
But just like see what happens, discover the magic that will happen, and they'll be like, "Dude, what's up with you, Peter?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're coming to all my stuff. You're doing like..." And you're not, I want to be your greatest champion. And then the next month you're going to do it for something else. And then that gives you an opportunity to tell your other friend, who probably is friends with your other three, four people, to say, hey, let's go together. And now this month, we're both going to love on Joe. And we're going to do this, right? And then the next month, it's three of you on one. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's all six of you people like going crazy for each other, right? Like making stuff happen because you're there serving each other. You're like high-fiving each other. You're wildly curious about everyone, right? And everybody's collaborating. And sure, there might be a moment where one of you goes off for a little solo, but then you come back into the ensemble and it's just going to be an even more beautiful piece.
That's awesome. And can I even tell them this story? Like
after? After. So start with one.
So I don't let tell them.
Don't let them know what you're doing.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And then at the end of that month, take them out to coffee or whatever and say, this is what I was doing. Here's why.
Yeah.
Let's do this together on this next person. At the end of that month, bring that person into the veil of truth, right? And say, this is why we're doing it.
Yeah.
And then and then so on and so forth, right? Yeah. And then guess what? They have friends outside of you, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to go they're going to say, oh my God, this is a cool thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it for this circle over here. And then it just is this gigantic ripple effect.
Love it, Mike. I'm getting nervous, but this is going to be really fun.
Yeah, see, that's good because the most important thing too is you're getting uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
And we don't get uncomfortable enough in this. And that's the process of confidence. You're going to build, as you do this throughout the month with your first friend, you're going to build confidence and you're going to be able to coach him or her along in this next relationship, right? It's going to be so awesome. And you have to tell me how it goes.
I will. Amazing, and this is an amazing time because this lines up all the way to Christmas too. So this is good. So Santa might come early this year. So Mike, last question. Yeah. You gotta go. You're going to San Diego with your family. I gotta go too. So one thing that is super important for us is that we want people to take action right after this podcast. So what would be the number one thing they can do right now to get started on their dreams?
First thing would be to hit pause and to write a list of the people, since we were just talking about relationships, the people that they want to be wildly curious in and invest in. Let's make this a community exercise that they're going to find the five people. You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? Yeah. Jim Rohn. I call it the future five. But like, you're going to pick those five people and you're going to make a list and you're going to identify how you're going to be wildly curious about the first person, the second person, third, fourth, and fifth person, right? So that would be the first thing. Second thing would be to go to iTunes and leave Peter a review on this great show, five stars, okay? Then you can do it for the Impact Entrepreneur Show as well. Make sure you subscribe to both.
Yeah.
And then last and certainly not least, go to Amazon and pick up a copy of Master the Key, A Story for Your Potential, Find Meaning and Live Life on Purpose, and for yourself and for a loved one. I know this book will have a transformational impact in the lives of people that read it. You know, it's been out since May, and we have like 64 reviews, and the reviews on there are people just actually having transformation happen immediately after reading the book, and then just pay that forward, you know. That's a lot for people to do, but I think that everybody's capable.
That's amazing. And I mean, thank you so much for coming here today, Mike, and we'll put all your links so they can connect with you, so they can get your book and just learn more about what you do and your guests. If you like what I do and you enjoy this conversation, please share it with someone that could benefit from this, because I want to help at least 10 million people. But right now, you and your friends are the most important to me. So please share this and share the message. If you want more tools, check out my book, The Gold Book, and also all the other hundreds of conversations I've had with amazing people. You can visit ilovesuccess.co. I think that's it. We're super grateful once again that you took the time to listen to us. And anything else you want to say, Mike?
Brace for impact.
Yep, let's do this. Thanks.